Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 26.
House will come to order. Visitors who retire from the chamber to the sergeant-at-arms will close the doors. Members and visitors, I ask to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Pittman. We'd ask our members, as well as our guests in the gallery, to stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Pittman.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker, I forgot. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Father, fill us with the awareness of all the sacrifice and all the devotion that has gone into providing our freedom in this nation and in this state. Help us, O God, as we deliberate today and each day that we are in session, to be aware of the great legacy that has been given to us and for which we are responsible, that it may be honored and continued. And so, Lord, help us to love one another even when we disagree. Help us, O God, to help one another when we are in need, and help us in all things to seek to honor your holy name and to serve and benefit the citizens who have entrusted government into our hands, that we may, O God, be in all things for your glory, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Members without objection, Rule 12G is suspended. Members, we have a special honor today. We are honored to have Miss America 2019, Nia Franklin, who will be singing the national anthem. I would invite you all to please join us as Miss America. How often do we get Miss America in the North Carolina House Chamber? This is a very rare occasion. So thank you for being with us today. And I was asking Ms. Franklin when the last Miss America from North Carolina was, and I believe it was the 1960s. So this is quite an honor. So with that, we are honored to have Miss America sing the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free?
And members, in just a few minutes, Ms. Franklin's going to be addressing the House. A few administrative matters to resolve, and then we'll be hearing from her. The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for March 12th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for March 12th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. The chair is pleased to extend the courtesies of the floor to our special guest, Ms. Franklin, who is Miss America, representing North Carolina. She is a North Carolina native, born in Winston-Salem, holds degrees from East Carolina University and the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. She has been a teacher and music mentor and has composed over 100 songs. Ms. Franklin is invited to make brief remarks from the well of the House. But she's got to pose for a few pictures first. Except with Mr. Hunter. Go ahead, Howard. Go ahead. How would we know Representative Hunter would be holding this up for a picture?
Thank you.
You have the floor.
House will come to order.
Thank you for that warm welcome, and thank you all for being so welcoming today. I have gotten a crash course in the Capitol this morning. I was over at the older version of the Capitol earlier, and I was able to sing with my alma mater, North Davidson High School, Go Black Knights. And yeah, we can clap for them. It was such an honor to be back singing with them. The place where for me it kind of all started as far as going into music professionally. So I ended up graduating from East Carolina University with a bachelor in music composition, and then I went back home to Winston-Salem, North Carolina at UNC School of the Arts, and also received a degree in music composition, but on the master's level. And so I'm just so honored to be here and be able to speak with you briefly. I'd really like to take this time also to thank the North Carolina Music Education Association. They are the reason that I am here today supporting them, and they are also a huge part of my journey. Talking about high school, let's go back to the year of 2010, about 9 years ago. I was a new student in the honors course at my school, and unfortunately there was a class conflict and I couldn't do that semester, of course, due to AP English being at the same time, which broke my heart because I really wanted to study AP English with a wonderful educator by the name of Sarah Pietkowski, but I also wanted to be in chorus. Unfortunately, I decided to go with AP because of that credit, that, you know, that college credit, you can't beat it. And so I did chorus in the spring. However, that fall, that November, there was going to be the North Carolina Honors Chorus. And I wanted to audition for it very badly, but actually the class that I needed to learn the audition music, I couldn't take. So I ended up having to learn the audition song by myself. It was a song by Mozart called Dixit Dominus, and it was so empowering for me, a young girl, only 17 years old, learning a song in Latin all by myself. And I ended up being the only one from my school that year and in previous years to actually go on to be selected for the North Carolina Honors Chorus, one of 1,000 students that were able to be a part of this choir from all over the state. And for me, that was so empowering. So I just want to thank NCMA for that opportunity. They actually sponsor that every year in November in Winston-Salem, my hometown. And so opportunities like that are so important to me. And also, just being back in North Carolina where it really all started for me, I did end up going to Miss America as Miss New York because I moved to New York for a Lincoln Center Fellowship. But this is home for me. And so, again, thank you so much for all that you do. And I believe in this state and I believe in you. So thank you for all the work that you do.
Some other recognitions. Along with Ms. Franklin, she is joined by her mother, Christy Franklin, and also joined by Renee Conrad, Liz Brown, Jasmine Sutton, Pat Hall, and Ashley Perkinson. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you as well over here to the left. Thank y'all for being with us. The chair appoints the following members to serve as an escort committee for Miss America: Representative Bell, chair, and Representatives Brockman, Carney, Conrad, Elmore, Jackson, Lambeth, Montgomery, and Hunter, who I just added to the list, who will escort Miss America from the chamber. Again, Ms. Franklin, thank you for being here with us. We certainly congratulate you and wish you the best during your reign. Those members may now escort Miss Franklin from the chamber. Please let's express our appreciation again. Ratifications of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following resolution duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. Senate Joint Resolution 216, a joint resolution honoring the life and memory of Walter B. Jones, Jr., former member of the General Assembly.
Chapter bills will be noted. Members, we are going to move committee reports and introductions of bills and resolutions to the end of the calendar, or as we get a break through the day, to try to take things. We'd ask the body's leave to give the chair some latitude on moving around the calendar or the couple of bills. The first bill the chair intends to take up is, because it is time sensitive, is Senate Bill 214. It's actually at the bottom of the calendar. No objection. Senate Bill 214. The clerk will read.
Senators Heiss and Daniel, Senate Bill 214, a bill to be entitled an act to delay the implementation of the regulatory requirements for SL 2018-144 in order to ensure the efficiency of administration of unexpected special elections. Joe Simmons of North Carolina. Act.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, the reason this legislation has to move so quickly is because voting by mail for our military and other voters begins in Congressional District 3 on Friday. Counties are not in a place to implement the bipartisan amendment that this passed, that our House has passed unanimously to reform voting by mail. That will take some time. Without clear rules, we would be impeding the right to vote for military voters in the home of one of the largest military bases in the world. And, of course, we pride ourselves in being a military-friendly state. This legislation will allow for orderly elections. With the Speaker's leave, or indulgence, I should say, what is not in this bill that many of you have asked about with good reason has to do with an extension of time for the universities to provide information to the state board so that their IDs could be used for voting. It's important to understand that our staff, at the direction of the corner offices, have been in nearly daily contact with the State Board of Elections and our educational institutions, pushing them to help meet this deadline. The current deadline has forced a lot of conversations and led to a productive exchange of information. I know that over 40 institutions have already complied. I also know that there may still be some questions and some things that may need to be worked out between the universities, the state board, and this body. I commit to you that after today, if there are these issues that need to be addressed, this body will take time and address them. The General Assembly made a commitment that secure student IDs will remain in the process, and we will honor that commitment during this legislative session. The bill that we are voting on the floor today means that ID requirements will effectively not apply to elections this year, allowing us to have time to make sure that all of the issues surrounding voter ID are fully addressed. I would respectfully ask for your support of this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman from Watauga, Representative Russell, recognizes and forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Russell moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 4, by deleting elections and substituting the following.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak in support of the amendment. The
gentleman is recognized.
My amendment just simply gives universities and community colleges 6 more months to affirm that they can comply with the voter ID law. As of just a few minutes ago, less than a quarter of the universities in North Carolina have been able to file the paperwork for this, and the deadline is today. The process has already been full of confusion. The State Board of Elections was not allowed to or did not meet its statutory requirement to get requirements to the universities by its deadline. And so the universities being forced to file by today, and if they're not in today, according to current law, they will not have an opportunity to file again until 2021. And with us in this bill, by not using voter ID in 2019, we're requiring universities to file today for an election that will not occur until March of 2020. The universities are having to do a lot of work here. They're having to add data to the IDs that they have. They're having to reprogram their systems to do this. This is being done at considerable cost to the universities, and particularly many of the private universities, the HBCUs in particular, are going to be disadvantaged in this process because of the cost of doing this. There's going to be, if we allow this to continue in this fashion, there's going to be tremendous confusion at the polls among the voters and for poll workers to figure out what university ID does work, what university ID does not work. And many of these voters at universities will be first-time voters. And, of course, all of us believe that this is one of our most sacred rights as American citizens is the right to vote. So I request the adoption of this amendment, and I commend it to you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis Rice?
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to read to you, this is from WREL.com. It says, Wednesday, shortly before noon, the University of North Carolina System General Counsel Tom Shanahan said in a statement that he expected all UNC campuses would meet the deadline and that the system hopes the State Board of Elections will approve those requests. The story goes on to say that the issue is going to be resolved. As I said in my opening remarks, in trying to present this bill, we are committed to making sure that school IDs can be used. I believe that the majority of these issues have already been resolved. With that said, in spirit, I support this bill the contents of this amendment if it becomes necessary. As of right now, what this bill would do is effectively not require IDs in 2019. Therefore, this amendment is not urgent. This bill, because voting begins on Friday, is urgent. We do not have time to amend this bill and send it back to the Senate. I'm committing to you on this floor that if this issue needs to be addressed, we will take up a bill. I think the General may have filed a bill to this effect, and we will deal with this. I would ask members to vote down this amendment so that we can send this bill, this clean bill, full of sunshine, to the governor. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, rise.
Ask the amendment sponsor a question.
Does the gentleman from Watauga yield to the gentleman from Pitt?
Please.
He yields.
I just want to know, of the 25% that did do this, Can you characterize those type of colleges? In other words, how did 25% get done their homework on time and the other 75% not?
Well, first, I would not say about them doing their homework in time. I think that's an unfair characterization because this has been a complex process for many. Of the 40, I don't know on the 47. That data just came an hour ago, so I do not know the details. As of yesterday, only 6 universities and none of the UNC system universities had filed to date, and almost very, very few, I think 4 or 6 of the community colleges.
Further discussion, further debate? Is the gentleman from Tagus recognized to debate the amendment a second time?
Thank you, Speaker. I appreciate Representative Lewis's statement. I do believe that he is looking to do this. I think it would be a great mistake for us to basically put our students right now in a situation where really by law many of them will not be able to use student IDs after today. Now, my esteemed colleagues said to me that there is time to get this amendment in and to go to conference and get this done by Friday so that we can meet the deadline for Friday. The other thing that I would say also is that the letter that came from the university attorney did not say that they had all complied. It said that they had submitted paperwork. Those universities do not know if that paperwork is going to satisfy the requirements of the Board of Education, Board of Election.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Russell. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Bowles, gentlemen wish to vote on the amendment? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 50 haven't voted in the affirmative, 65 in the negative. The amendment is not adopted. We are now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 214 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116 have voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Bill 214 passed the second reading and will without objection be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is Senate Bill 214 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 214, having passed its third reading, is ordered sent to the governor by special messenger and enrolled. Members, the Chair intends to next take up House Bill 224. We have a number of guests that the chair will introduce way to that momentarily. So with that, House Bill 224, the clerk will read, and if the Speaker pro tempore would please come take the dais.
Representatives Moore, Hastings, Smith, and Barnes, House Bill 224, a bill to be entitled an act to increase the punishment for assault with a firearm on a law enforcement officer, probation officer and parole officer, and on the employee of a detention facility. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, rise?
To speak about the bill,
Madam Speaker. You have the floor to speak about the bill.
Madam Speaker, I won't be very long. I'm going to leave the majority of what needs to be said to the Speaker of the House, who is from Cleveland County and lives in Cleveland County. But I can say that in my 8.2 years, there have been a few emotional times here, and I'm going to try not to be emotional today. One was when the Speaker asked me to help sponsor a bill named Laura's Law, for a young lady who was killed by a drunk driver on the Dallas-Cherryville Highway. The other was Respect Our Fallen Heroes, which was to protect the men and women who are killed while serving our country, primarily two back home, a Marine and a soldier. and a group threatened to protest their funerals. And then, of course, this one today. And I look at the family and Chief Ledford with the utmost respect. And we recently had another Cleveland County officer who was shot. And I want you to know that Tim Sims was a big part of this bill. And it's just an honor today to be here before you and to lend my support and to support the speaker in his efforts to file this bill. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Cleveland, Representative Moore, Speaker Moore, rise?
To debate the bill.
You have the floor.
Thanks. Members, I don't debate bills very often. You all know that. And I will be debating two today, but I promise I'll have it out of my system by then. What I'll say, though, this is a vitally important bill. Anyone who's read the news or followed events and knows that very often a lot of our law enforcement officers are increasingly becoming the victims of crime themselves. I'll be introducing some guests and a few who are the family members of a police officer killed in the line of duty in Shelby, North Carolina. Representative Jones has a bill regarding a trooper who died in Columbus County, and we'll be taking that bill up in the coming weeks as well. And then also, as Representative Hastings said, we had Deputy Tim Sims from Cleveland County who was fortunately not killed but was injured by being shot. And what stuck with me was a person who assaults a law enforcement officer with a firearm under current law right now is punished as a Class E felon. Now, I know there's a number of lawyers in here who understand felonies and misdemeanor sentencing, but most lay people don't understand that. But so I'll give you a brief synopsis. Class A is the most serious felony. That's things like murder, all the way down to Class I, which are things like possession of drugs in many cases that rise to a felony level and other things. And so there's this range of felonies between A and I. And there's a chart where, based on if a person has a prior criminal record, it goes from left to right. They're assigned points. And based on their prior record, they could get prison time, probation, or some kind of intermediate punishment. The current law is this is a Class E felony, which means a person could not have a criminal record, assault a law enforcement officer with a firearm, and only get probation, not get any jail time. I just find that unconscionable. I think anyone who does that should go to prison for some period of time. So what this bill does, it raises it to a Class D felony. And right now, where the range is anywhere between 15 to 88 months in prison, it raises it to where it would be anywhere from 38 months minimum up to 204 months maximum. I think it's a great step that we do to let our men and women in blue know that we have their backs, that we're doing what we can to make sure that perpetrators of crime who assault law enforcement officers are held accountable, go to prison, because guess what? If they're going to assault law enforcement officers, they're basically assaulting all of us, because those officers are there to enforce the laws designed to protect all of us. Members, I would ask for your support of this bill today. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Seeing none. Question before the House is the passage of House Bill 224 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock and record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 224 passes its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
Your Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 224 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it, and House Bill 224 has passed and will be sent to the Senate.
Members, and thank you for that vote. On motion of all members of the House, the chair is happy and honored to extend the courtesies of the gallery to family members of Officer Brackeen, who are in the top. And I'm going to introduce them if they would please stand. Michael Brackeen, his widow. Daphne Brackeen, daughter. Donna Krotz, Jim Brackeen, Heather Brackeen, Naomi Brackeen, Noah Brackeen, Laura Rabin, Tim Rabin, Riley Rabin, and they're joined by Shelby Police Chief Jeff Lefford. Please join me in welcoming them. Appreciate you all being here today. I know the sad occasion, but maybe we can, with the passage of this bill, make a difference going forward. Thank you. Ratification of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 214, an act to delay the implementation of the regulatory requirement of SL 2018-144, in order to ensure the efficient administration of expected special election.
Chapter bills will be noted. Go back to the top of the calendar now. House Resolution 265, the clerk will read.
Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House, House Resolution 265, a House resolution to amend the 2019 House Permanent Rules to modify the April break. General Assembly of North Carolina.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognize the debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, this resolution does exactly what the title says. It changes our House rules. This was a suggestion that came up during the discussion of the House rules, that there are school systems in our state that take their spring breaks on different weeks. This is trying to allow members that may have family that have the break on different weeks to be able to spend some time with their families. It would change. It would say that the current House rules say that no votes will be held April 22nd through April 26th. This would say no votes will be held April 18th through April the 24th. I would appreciate your support on this resolution. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of House Resolution 265 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Chair sees Representatives Autry and Horn in a conversation. How do the gentlemen wish to be recorded? Representative Autry, would you like to be an aye? Representative Horn, aye. The clerk would make that. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Resolution 265 is adopted. It is ordered and printed. House Bill 84, the clerk will read.
Representatives Howard and Warren. House Bill 84, a bill to be entitled an act adding certain prescribed property to the corporate limits of the city of Kannapolis. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is a local bill. It's a voluntary annexation. All parties involved are in total agreement. There's a Senate companion bill for this. This bill has passed state and local government unanimously. The House Subcommittee on Annexations unanimously, the Finance Committee and the Rules Committee all unanimously. I would appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of House Bill 84 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, one in the negative. House Bill 84 passed the second reading and will remain on the calendar. Senate Bill 12, the clerk will read.
Senator Wells, Senate Bill 12, a bill to be entitled an act relating to the manner in which vacancies are filled in Office of the Sheriff in Alexander County and Office of Sheriff, Register of Deeds, and Board of Commissioners in Burke County. General Assembly, North Carolina annexed.
Gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a local bill that only affects Alexander and Burke County, and the delegation from both counties in each chamber are in agreeance with what is in the bill. I appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of Senate Bill 12 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 12, having passed second reading, will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina annexed.
Question before the House, adoption of Senate Bill 12 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Bill is ordered to return to the Senate for concurrence. Members, the chair would ask leave that we skip the Education Bond Act. That's the chair's bill. To move on to another bill. Senate Bill 56, Corker Reed.
Senators Tillman, Heiss, and Newton. Senate Bill 56, a bill to be entitled an act to make technical changes to the revenue laws. General Assembly of North Carolina and Act.
The lady from Davie, Representative Howard, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, when I say this is truly a technical bill, it is truly a technical bill, and I appreciate the cooperation from some of the House members that agreed to hold an amendment, because this bill is has some degree of urgency, because all of the CPAs across the state are waiting to see that the IRC update has been put in place. So that's why we are pushing, trying to keep this bill totally clean without any hiccups with it. There's two noteworthy sections in the bill. The first is section 1.1, and this is the IRC update at this point through the code to January 1, 2019. And the other section that is noteworthy would be section 5.2, the economic nexus for remote sellers. This section simply codifies the directive issued by the Department of Revenue following the United States Supreme Court's decision in Wayfair versus South Dakota. And under the directive issued by the department, allowed by the Supreme Court decision, sellers are required to collect and remit sales and use tax if either of the following conditions are met in the previous or current calendar year, one being the seller made gross sales of more than $100,000 sourced in to North Carolina, and the second, the seller made 200 or more separate sales transactions, both being sourced in to North Carolina. I would request that we support this bill, so we can get it moving, and within the next week, you will see part two, which is not going to be technical in nature. It's going to be more substantive, but again, I appreciate the support and cooperation of all the members to refrain from amendments on this particular bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 56 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Bill 56 passes at second reading and remains on the calendar. House Bill 67, the clerk will read.
Representatives McNeil, Shepard, Goodman, and Rena Turner. House Bill 67, a bill to be entitled an act to expand the prohibition of removal, destruction, or driving through of roadway construction barriers to include dangerous roadway conditions, closure barriers. General Assembly of North Carolina annexed.
Gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members.
House Bill 67 came out of the House Select Committee on Strategic Transportation and Long-Term Funding, and was part of their legislative report. It has been through the Transportation Committee and received a favorable report, and also the Rules Committee. Basically, what it does is it allows the state of North Carolina, it makes it a misdemeanor to drive around a barrier into a flooded area of the road, and also to remove a barrier where someone else, you might put someone else in danger, and also keep our first responders safe, because they're the ones that have to go and rescue these people when they drive into these flooded waters. So I'd appreciate your positive support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 67 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 67 passes at second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 67 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 67 having passed third reading, this order sent to the Senate. House Bill 82, the clerk will read.
Representatives Pierce and Shepherd, House Bill 82, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify that vehicles of persons must obey railroad signals and crossing rules for track equipment. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Scotland, Representative Pierce, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before you, this afternoon, you have a bill that would protect many of those who work on our rails here in North Carolina. Rail traffic is very important here in North Carolina. It moves a lot of the products and so many things we depend on for rails. What the legislation would do, it would be that motors would must stop not only for trains but all rail traffic. The legislation makes it so motors must obey crossing gates, flagmen, lights and horns, a signage in place, and not just train but all traffic, rail traffic. The legislation stopped motors from going around crossing gates in front of trains and all rail traffic. The legislation is supported by rail laborers, the railroads themselves, and there's no public opposition to this bill. It is passed in 18 states. The same legislation is pending in 6 states, and it's supported by CSX and Norfolk Southern Railroad. So it's passed through 2 committees, and I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, for your support on this very important bill for those who work on our rails, that they are protected as they work. A lot of time, like I said, a lot of people, if it's not the train itself, a lot of folks will not stop. But this way, all rail traffic will be protected, and those who work on the tracks will be too. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 82 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 82 passed a second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 82 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 82 having passed its third reading is ordered sent to the Senate. House Bill 100, clerk will read.
Representatives Faircloth, Torbett, Carson, Smith, and Speciale. House Bill 100, a bill to be entitled an act to require training and certification for police telecommunicators. General Assembly of North Carolina.
Gentleman from Guilford, Representative Faircloth, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill, as we've seen it a time before in another session, and it didn't make its way through. This is a very vital bill that we need to get taken care of this time around. And in the policing in North Carolina and in the sheriff's departments in North Carolina and in other organizations that may have a combination of public safety agencies, there are telecommunicators, and they are the ones, if you make a call needing help, they pick up the phone at the other end of the line and they relay whatever the instructions they need to that officer to come help you in whatever your problem may be. The situation we have is that the sheriff's department several years ago got ahead of the curve. They went ahead and set up standards for their telecommunicators, and working with the Justice Academy and other training, they have trained their telecommunicators. They have adequate training now. They're very professional in what they do. There are 911 centers that serve several agencies, and those telecommunicators have gotten good training either from agencies that offer that training or from commercial training. The gap we have is in our local police departments in many cases. And this bill would simply say that it's time for those telecommunicators in those police departments across our state to have the same level of training. And the Sheriff's Association has agreed to help with this, and the Sheriff's Training and Standards Commission is willing to work with them to train these telecommunicators with the police department and bring them up to the same level. So we'll have everything across the state at the same level of training. A couple of differences, police departments can hire telecommunicators at 18 years of age. The sheriffs require 21 years. But I don't think that 18 to 21 is going to be a problem. These telecommunicators will be trained well, and they will have the kind of training that can guarantee that we get the best response when you have to dial for help. So I ask your support of this bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 100 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 100 passes at second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House, the passage of House Bill 100 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 100 having passed its third reading is ordered sent to the Senate. What purpose the lady from Yancey, Representative President Elrise?
For the next bill, sir. House Bill 158.
And House Bill 158, the clerk will read.
Representative Presnell, House Bill 158, a bill to be entitled an act to make changes to various Department of Transportation reporting requirements. General Assembly of North Carolina.
Lady from Yancey, Representative Presnell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you very much. This has been requested by the Department of Transportation. It eliminates several reports that we don't need anymore, but this information will still be available through DOT if any of you needed any of it at all. I appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 158 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Reeves would like to vote on this bill. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, one in the negative. House Bill 158 passes second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 158 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 158, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Members, a few recognitions the chair would like to do. First off, we have with us today our doctor of the day, Dr. John Burkhard from Raleigh, who's joined by our nurse of the day, Jennifer Smith, who, of course, is the wife of our own Representative Carson Smith. Please welcome me in joining. On motion of the lady from Wilson, Representative Farmer Butterfield, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Elvis Mugisha, who is a junior at NC State, majoring in political science and economics, and interning for Representative Farmer Butterfield's office. Where are you? We'd like to welcome you as well. Be here. All right, we'll have to do that later, I guess. On motion of the gentleman from Lenore, Representative Chris Humphrey, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. Rusty Hunt, who is the president of Lenore Community College. Would you please stand so we could welcome you over here to the left. Thank you for being with us, sir. On motion of the gentleman from Wilkes County, Representative Elmore, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Executive Director Pat Hall of the North Carolina Music Educators Association. Would you please stand so we could welcome you as well? And I... Chair's informed that we have a group of students from Kernatzer Elementary, is that correct? Located in Davie County. We're glad to have you all with us today. Please join me in welcoming them. And I will point out to, that your representative for Davie County is Representative Howard right down here. She's your representative, so. Okay. Where is he? All right, I'm informed that Elvis has entered the building. There he is up on the right. Thank you for being with us, sir. Good luck this year. House Joint Resolution 254, the clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, House Joint Resolution 254, a joint resolution confirming the appointment of Kenneth L. Goodman to the North Carolina Industrial Commission. The House resolved to send it concurrent.
For what purpose, gentleman from Richmond, Representative Goodman, rise.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Rule 24.1A, I'd like to be excused from voting on this joint resolution.
So ordered. Will the gentleman still yield to any questions anybody has?
Absolutely.
For what purpose, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise?
To debate the resolution. The
gentleman has the floor to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, House Joint Resolution 254 is a resolution confirming the governor's appointment of Kenneth L. Goodman to the North Carolina Industrial Commission. I'd like to state for the record that Representative Goodman's credentials and paperwork have been reviewed by staff, and he has been found well qualified to serve in this role. That being said, I'd also like to inform Representative Cleveland, the head of the General Government Committee, that we've received a request that once this is confirmed, the music system at the Industrial Commission has requested an appropriation because they now think they have to play music by the musician Kenny G. With that, Mr. Speaker, I would ask members to please vote for this resolution.
For our purpose, gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to endorse...
Gentleman's recognized to debate the resolution.
Endorse the... confirmation of my neighbor over in the LOB for the last, I don't know whether it's been 6 years or longer, Ken. He's a principal fellow. I assume he's going to do a great job on the commission, but if being a nice guy, showing up for work, being easy to get along with, if those are all signs that you can do a good job on the commission, he ought to be there. Also, I had the privilege, I sort of had my eye on Ken, and Mr. Speaker, you actually gave me the honor a few sessions back of chairing the select committee during the interim, and you actually allowed me to have a big say in who ought to be on that committee to study education strategies and practices. And I asked you to appoint Ken, and you did. He was a great member of the committee. He participated. He's going to be a great member of the commission, and I certainly recommend his confirmation.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Hertford, Representative Hunter, rise?
To ask Representative Goodman a question.
Actually, he has excused himself from the deliberation, so you'll just have to sit there and ask him and decide him.
Yesterday, Representative Goodman gave us a funeral joke on behalf of the undertakers in the house, we'd like to
order,
if you have
Mr.
any
Speaker.
More jokes.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Iowa, Representative Fraley, rise?
To debate the resolution. The
gentleman's recognized to debate the resolution.
In the few years that I've been up here, I've sat beside Representative Goodman in many committee meetings with F and G being right next to each other, and I'd like to heartily endorse this, say I'm very sorry to see you leave the House of Representatives. Ken, you've been a great friend and a very wonderful and responsible legislator. Good luck. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
Speak on the resolution.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And also speak very favorably of this nominee. Also, he has served down the hall on the fifth floor from me and from Representative Blackwell. And he is the exact mirror image of his last name. He is a good man. I support this amendment and hope everyone will as well.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise?
To speak on the resolution.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know how many other attorneys in here actually practice in the area of workers' compensation, but I do that. And the one thing you want, whether it's a deputy commissioner or at the full commissioner level, is you want somebody who's going to call balls and strikes. And I think we all know from working with Ken over the years, he's a very reasonable person, listens to both sides. He's got the right temperament to be a judge, and that's what they are over an industrial commissioner, commissioners, but they're judges. He's got the right temperament to be a judge. We're going to miss him over here, having him every day, working on issues, but I wish him all the well. I wish him luck, and I encourage you to vote yes.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
To debate the resolution.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any doubt as to the qualifications of Representative Goodman, simply make reference to his surname, Good Man. Support the resolution.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of House Joint Resolution 254 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Joint Resolution 254 passes its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
The House resolved, the Senate concurred.
Question for the House. Passage of House Joint Resolution 254 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Joint Resolution 254 having passed its third reading, ordered sent to the Senate. Members, on motion of Representative Goodman and, frankly, all members of the body, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Dr. Cindy Goodman, who is the retired Richmond County School Superintendent and, of course, the wife of Representative Goodman. Cindy, thank you for being with us today, please. On the right. Representative Goodman, the chair, will simply say a little mixed emotion on this. I wish you the best, but I enjoyed having you in the House as well. So, members, also join, if you would, we have a former member on the floor of the House with us. If you would, join me in welcoming former Representative Scott Stone, who's seated in the back of the chamber. Scott, good to see you back today. Thank you much. House Bill 263, the clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, House Bill 263, a bill to be entitled an act to appoint persons to various public offices upon the recommendation of the Speaker of the House of Representatives and to make modifications to appointments made in 2018. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Harnett is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, this bill also does exactly what the title says, which is to make various appointments to
boards on behalf of the speaker and of this body. I'll state for the record that all of the appointees have been reviewed by counsel in my office and have been found well qualified to serve. To not belabor the time, I will not go through each one of their qualifications unless that's the will of the body, in which case I will yield to questions. But with that, Mr. Speaker, I would recommend that members vote for this bill, and I thank you for your time, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 263 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Following members wish to record, Representative Meyer, Representative Insko. Are those members on the floor? The clerk will open the chamber, record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 263 passes second reading and will without objection. Here at third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 263 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 263, having passed third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate. Members, we are now going to go back to earlier in the calendar to House Bill 241, and the Speaker Pro Tem will take the gavel.
House Bill 241, clerk will read.
Representatives Moore, Johnson, Elmore, and Horn, House Bill 241, a bill to the Entitlement Act to enact the Education Bond Act of 2019. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, seek recognition?
To debate the bill.
Well, we can allow it to be presented first.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cleveland, Representative Moore, rise?
To debate the bill.
You have the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Speaker. Members, this is a bill today that I hope everyone here can support. This is a bill that shows that we are going to continue our investment in public education in North Carolina. This bond bill would go to the voters to be voted on in March of 2020. And if approved, it would allocate $1.9 billion to various school construction around this state. $200 million for UNC, $200 million for community colleges, billion, and $1.5 billion for K-12 construction all around the state. Within the bill, you'll see a breakdown of how the money is allocated throughout the state. One thing that's very important to note is that this proposal is designed to help the counties with the greatest need. There's a great deal of weight put on low wealth. Those counties in North Carolina that are struggling to keep up perhaps with some of the other counties. That's roughly 40% of the weight. And we've also made sure that each county gets at least $10 million minimum for school construction. You know, the history of bonds is that roughly in our state, about every 10 years, the General Assembly will send a bond proposal to the people. The last bond proposal was 1996. I think it's time for us to do this. And I think it carries on what we're doing for public education. Many of you may have seen the news that was released yesterday where North Carolina was ranked the 29th best pay for teachers in the country and the second best in the Southeast. We've come from the 40s to 29th. That's something everyone in this chamber should be proud of, because with the responsible budgets that have been passed these few years, that's where we are. So this is yet another step to invest in our public education to make sure that our schools and our facilities are the best they can be. So as I mentioned in the previous bill, I don't file bills very often. I view the role of speaker not necessarily in that role. But this is one of those bills that I believe is so critical that I wanted to personally get involved. Back during the campaign, when I campaigned just like every one of you did, I would hear various things. And I live along the South Carolina state line. Many of you border South Carolina, Virginia, or Tennessee. And one thing that I would notice particularly as I would go across the line, particularly down around York County, was a lot of brand new schools. And I would come back into our state and sometimes I would see some schools that needed some updating. And I said, there's no reason at all that we can't have the newest and best schools, the environment for our kids to learn. So I decided at that point that when I came back, that one of the things that I wanted to start working on was a bond proposal. But I do believe it's important that we also do something for UNC. Now, we've been very generous with the Connect and See bond. It's very heavily weighted toward the university, but we're seeing that pay dividends. We're seeing more companies look to locate because of our universities, because of the research and development. Just ride down the road to the Centennial campus. Just go and look and see all the jobs that are being created. And while I'm mentioning jobs, the community colleges. The community colleges, and many of the presidents who are here today, are on the front lines of making sure that we have a qualified, ready workforce for a lot of the jobs that we need to have filled. I think we're putting in good money that the community colleges will be able to use, and we're going to allow that board to decide where the needs are around the state, whether it's new construction, repair and renovation, or other. So this is going to be a great investment. Some may say, why bonds? Why now? Well, now is actually the best time to do it. Interest rates are low, and guess what? They're only going to go up. And everyone knows construction costs only go up. Now is the time to invest. Now is the time to do this. And again, we're building on a great bond proposal that we've already adopted. And at the end of the day, it'll be up to the voters to decide how they want to proceed. Now, I will say there are other proposals on how to fund school construction, and those proposals have merit as well. This proposal that we have here in the House today, should it pass, should it go to the Senate, will be a part of what would eventually be some kind of compromise. Who knows what that'll look like, but at the end of the day, I feel confident that this General Assembly will find a way to be putting more money into school construction. As part of this bill, and as part of the lead up to it, I had a few members who were interested, and they said, hey, why don't you come down to my district and see what we're doing? So I went to, for example, to Representative Jones' district, saw some of the schools that were impacted down in Columbus County by the hurricane. I think some of the schools still had tarps on top of them. You know, those counties need money. If you're from rural North Carolina or you get into rural North Carolina, you understand the needs that many of our counties face. I've said this before that, it used to be east-west, but I would tell you when it comes to the present economy and the present needs that Robertsonville and Robbinsville have more in common than Robertsonville and Greenville, even though they're down the road, because of the same kinds of issues, same economies affecting rural North Carolina. In many cases, declining populations, in many cases, an aging population, more folks needing services, and a difficulty in the local tax base to be able to fund things like school construction. And my friends, I submit to you that every kid in North Carolina deserves to have the best education, whether they live in a wealthy county or a poor county. And we owe it to those kids and we owe it to those communities to keep investing as we have been doing through a number of initiatives. I would point out a number of other investments we've made over the last few years of the budget in health care for rural areas, rural infrastructure such as water and sewer, roads, the things that we need to do that make sure that we grow together. Because I'll tell you, we're only as great as a state as the whole state is. And we need to make sure that we're working together to make sure every person who lives in this state, regardless of which part of the state they live in, is able to share in the growth and the prosperity that we see. So where are we on this bond proposal? I know there's some who want to see their counties get more. And guess what? As we work through the process, we can do that. I know I've talked to a couple of the Guilford County representatives who've been concerned about their allocation. But what I can tell you is if you apply the formula as it's been applied, that's what it showed. The issue on Guilford had to do with the growth rate. And so that's why it didn't go as high. But what I will pledge to you is this. This is the first step passing the bill here in the House. We will pass it. We will get it to the Senate. I feel in the end, whatever the product will be something that everybody feels comfortable with. But my friends, this is a great day to hear this bill. It's a great day for North Carolina, and I would urge everyone's support and appreciate your vote for this bond. Thank you.
The gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, is recognized.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I want to begin by thanking Speaker Moore and the bill sponsors for putting forth a real solution to our state's growing infrastructure need in K-12 schools, our community colleges, and our universities. With an estimated $8 billion in need in these areas, this is a bill that I would say is definitely a step in the right direction. And while I would prefer to overwhelmingly support this bill, I am afraid that part of my support can be lukewarm at best. Guilford County Schools is the third largest school system in the state of North Carolina. So large an organization as Guilford County Schools that if you took the nearly 74,000 students out of Guilford County Schools and populated a new city in North Carolina on Monday morning, it would be the 14th largest city in our state, just behind Gastonia and just ahead of Jacksonville. And if you added the nearly 10,000 employees in the mix, Guilford County Schools would move to the 13th largest city in our state, just behind Asheville and just before Gastonia. Guilford County Schools operate and maintain 127 educational environments. I purposely use the term educational environments because Guilford County Schools has been a national leader in early and middle college partnerships between the school systems and colleges and universities in our county. However, like nearly every other school system in the state, the need for infrastructure in Guilford County Schools is nearly mind-boggling. A recent independent assessment found $1.8 billion in infrastructure needs for Guilford County Schools. $1.8 billion, including three elementary schools that were rendered inoperable by an F2 tornado that struck the eastern part of our city last spring. Let me repeat that. There are three schools in Guilford County, three elementary schools, that cannot be used right now because they were ravaged by a tornado. So we've had to move hundreds of students into already compact school environments. And yet in our bond proposal before us today, North Carolina's third largest school system with $1.8 billion in need and with three schools rendered inoperable by a tornado would receive only $12.6 million. And when compared with other urban school systems in this bond package, the $12.6 million looks even worse. And what concerns Guilford County voters that I have spoken with is that we supported a bond package in 2008 to the tune of nearly $500 million. And now voters in Guilford County are asking that the state do more to help rebuild our school system and our infrastructure. I'll close with this. One of the great lessons my paternal grandmother, Grandma Picoya, taught me as I was coming up was to be grateful. And I am grateful. Grandma Picoya would say, for everything you get, be grateful that you get it. And so I am grateful for $12.6 million, which is $12.6 million more than we have had and more than we currently have. But when this $12.6 million is compared to the tremendous need that exists to support the education of children in Guilford County, and when it's compared to the amounts potentially allocated to other urban districts in our state, this is cause for alarm. And I believe even Grandma Picoya would agree with that. While I support the bill, I ask you to consider that Guilford County Schools still is in dire straits.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Scotland, Representative Pierce, rise?
Speak on the bond.
You have the floor to speak on the bond.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to stand to commend our speaker and all those who signed on to the bill. I didn't realize the impact that it would have on one of the counties that I represent, Scotland County in particular. $10 million would mean almost remodeling most of our schools and a down payment, on a brand new school. So the impact in some areas, I understand what Representative Quick was talking about, but in some areas it really has a great impact. So I have, Mr. Speaker, you have my full support on this bill, and thank you for all that you do. Thank you.
For purposes, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, arise.
Speak on the bill.
You have the floor to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I plan to vote for the bill before us today, and I want to thank Speaker Moore again for his efforts to introduce and push this bond bill. We are taking the right financing approach with this bill, even if, in my opinion, the amount is a little too cautious, given the crisis at hand.
with school facilities. Many of you in this room bought a piece of property back in the 70s and 80s, and you know how historically low interest rates are right now compared to they were. When I started practicing law in 1996 and people would come in to refinance their houses, I would be doing interest rates, I think, were about 8% then, and people were refinancing from where they had financed at 14.5%, even 15%. And then a few years later, those people that were 8% came back and refinanced at 6%. And then they came back and refinanced at 4%. So we've gotten a little spoiled, but rates are at historic lows. And one day we're going to look back and wish we had done more investing when the fiscal situation was as it is now for long-term interest rates. Our last school bond was in 1996. If we get this bill through the Senate, it'll have been now 24 years ago. A study from the Department of Instruction that is now several years old pegs our unmet needs at least $8 billion across the state. And you heard Representative Quick talk about a recent study commissioned by the Guilford County Public Schools and identified over $1 billion in immediate needs in that school district alone. So we can all agree that our needs are enormous, whatever the number. The $1.5 billion we are doing today is a start. Of course, I would prefer a stronger start like it's in the governor's $2 billion bond package. But whatever the amount, I'm glad the House is supporting the use of bond financing. With debt payments now from past bonds declining steadily, now is the time to invest in good schools without diverting funds from other state capital needs and skimming from the general fund. It was wise to do it that way for Connect NC and Build NC. It's still a wise way to do it now. It has been said that North Carolina school finance tradition is that local governments pay for school facilities. And I've heard that many times from people who oppose the way we're doing it here today. But, you know, when you look at history, that is only partially true. Between 1949 and 1996, we had 5 statewide bond efforts, or about 1 a decade. And, of course, the people in North Carolina are given the right to weigh in on every bond. More significantly, we are asking our local governments to do more and to pay more for public school needs, which adds stress to their ability to pay for capital projects. Counties like mine in Wake, or maybe in Representative Myers, in Orange, they can manage. But many counties are really struggling. Earlier this year, the Public School Forum released its 2019 Local School Finance Study. It found that the 10 high-spending counties in the state spent on average of $3,200 per student, compared to only $755 by the 10 lowest-spending counties. That's some disparity. It's the largest gap between rich and poor counties since the study began back in the 1970s. Meanwhile, in today's dollars, state spending per pupil has declined by nearly $1,000 from a decade ago to today. So that's why we're here today. No statewide school bond in 20-plus years, increasing stress on local governments to fund non-capital school needs. The Department of Public Instruction has a handy chart showing how much has been spent on capital outlay for school facilities from 1998 through today. For the first 11 years on the chart, through 2009 and the Great Recession, we averaged $932 million per year on school facility investments. That included state, local, and federal funds. But for the last 9 years, through 2018, we've averaged just half of that, of $466 million a year. And none of those numbers are adjusted for inflation. So it's not complicated to see how we got into the situation we find ourselves in today. At the state and local level, we have not invested in what we need to in our schools. I wish the bill before us was stronger, but we need to stop digging out of that hole, and this bill is a step in the right direction. I encourage your yes vote.
For purposes, gentlemen.
Madam Speaker.
For what purposes, gentlemen from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
I'd like to see if the bill sponsor would yield for a question.
Representative Moore, do you yield for a question?
Glad to.
Representative Moore, he yields. Representative Moore, do you think your bill is going to fail?
I would hope so, but I want everybody to remember to vote their conscience on it.
If you don't think it will fail, could you do
if you do want a follow-up?
Yes.
Do you yield for a follow-up?
I do.
If you think that it's not going to fail, could you move the bill forward, please?
Well, what I'll say on this is this.
I think on a bond proposal like this, that some debate on it's probably warranted. So I won't at this time, but I understand the gentleman's sentiment, and I appreciate the gentleman's support of the bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, arise?
Send forth an amendment.
And we have reviewed the amendment and have determined that it is not germane to the bill, and we will
challenge that ruling.
You may speak on your challenge, on your appeal.
This amendment is to a section which deals with allocation of funds through the Board of Governors, and that is exactly what this amendment addresses. So it couldn't possibly not be germane.
Members, the question put before the body is, should the appeal of the chair's ruling be sustained? Members vote green in favor of the appeal, in favor of Representative Pittman's appeal, or red in favor of the chair's ruling. The appeal must pass 3/5 present and voting. So the question before the House is, should the member's appeal of the chair's ruling be sustained? All those in favor of the member's appeal will vote aye. All opposed to the appeal will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock and record the vote. 7 voted in affirmative and 107 voting in the negative. The chair's ruling is sustained. We are back on the bill. For what purpose, gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, rise?
To speak about the bill.
You have the floor to speak on the bill.
I would urge you to support the bond bill that is before you. And I've been real blessed. I'm in my 18th year, and with my job, I'm certified K-12, so I've taught in all sorts of different conditions of buildings. I've even been on a cart before, wheeling around and scheduled at 3 different schools. And it does make a difference, the environment that our children are learning in and that our teachers are working in. And the magic of the bill and the way it is balanced is trying to meet the needs across the entire state, from our isolated rural areas that could not have the ability, like Guilford County, to even issue a bond and vote it on, to where they're having to borrow and create finance packages, to trying to help our rapidly growing areas in the state. Speaker Moore even came up and visited my county, and we took him to a school that had a building that was built in each decade, 1980s, 1970s, 1960s, and 1954. And what was cute about the 1954, that's the main bathroom hub for a wing of the school. And the little kinders had a writing prompt, and they showed it to us, you know, why we should have a new school. And one of the little fellas put, because the bathrooms smell bad. And it's not an issue of the bathrooms not being clean, it's just when you are dealing with a building from 1954, it's just hard to avoid that. And there was even a piece of concrete that was falling down from the floor of the bathroom in that building. This bill has that kind of balance to try to accomplish the goal. Is it going to solve every problem? No. But the power of it is that it will enable our local decision makers, which that's where these decisions take place, is not in this chamber, it's at the local level between your school boards and your county commissions, on being able to give them some leverage to do what they need to do and to meet their goals. Another thing I think this bill does, as the speaker was saying, it's a process, and you're working through a process. Us in our role, this gives us an opportunity to learn what our school boards are, what are their capital improvement plans for the next 5 years, what is the coordination with the county, to where we're part of the communication, we're working partner, but we're not in control of it. And that's the magic of what this does. I commend the bill to you and I urge you to vote affirmative.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Winston Churchill once said, I knew it's been a while since I've risen to begin a testimony with that phrase, but I can't help myself. Winston Churchill once said, we make our buildings, and then our buildings make us. And that is so very true. that what we build, in fact, builds us. We are in North Carolina building a 21st and looking to a 22nd century education system. We, as you may know, North Carolina is now the first and now still the only state in the union to have access to wireless broadband in every classroom. Every classroom. But that's not going to work very long if these buildings have water damage. They're not really acceptable to modern technology, and that is going to hurt our kids. We have an obligation to 1,580,000 public school children in this state. We need, in order to deliver a 21st century education, we need 21st century education facilities. I strongly urge you to support this bill. Thank you.
The gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, is recognized to speak on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have never, ever in my life supported a bond issue, and I'm not going to start now. And I'm told by some folks that if we do this bond, it will either max out our state's credit or come very dangerously close to doing so. Now, if I want to put my money up for a debt, you know, that's my business. If you want to do that with your money, that's your business. But this money, we're talking about putting at risk by going into debt as a state, belongs to our citizens. And, you know, I just want to tell you a little something. The other day when I was at the Rowan County Republican County Convention, I said several things that, well, I had to stop my speech to wait for them to quit applauding. And one of them was when I said, no bonds. I think, you know, this may pass, but an awful lot of our people will not be for it. Pay as you go is a responsible way to behave, especially when you're dealing with other people's money. We do not need to put this state any further in debt, and so there's no way I can support this. Thank you.
Gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, is recognized to speak a second time.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'll be very brief. Let me reiterate, I support this bill. I'm looking forward to hitting the green button and supporting this bill and then getting out as the process plays out to advocate to the voters that we support this bill if it gets to that point. But I also must be a good representative of Guilford County. I want to repeat something to you that has not gotten a lot of publicity as the hurricanes. An F2 tornado hit the eastern part of Guilford County and destroyed 3 elementary schools and rendered them inoperable. It wasn't because voters didn't support a bond. It wasn't because the school board wasn't good stewards of the finances allocated to them. It was because an act of nature destroyed 3 schools. The average cost of building 1 elementary school is about $27 million. I'm asking that you will consider that as we go through the process. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, arise?
Ask Representative Quick a question.
Representative Quick, do you yield for a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Quick, I was trying to figure out a way to do this, but would you accept my assistance in helping Guilford County through a disaster relief package to address the needs that you need in Guilford County?
Absolutely.
I think that is the best way to handle that outside of a bond.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
To see if Representative Pittman would yield to a question.
Representative Pittman, do you yield?
You don't have to.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. To whom?
Representative Pittman, do you yield for a question from Representative Lucas?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
You may proceed, Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Pittman. Representative Pittman, I heard your concern relative to the bond, and I think that you may be aware, but I just want to ask you, would you be knowledgeable that the bond cannot be enacted unless it's approved by the people?
Yes, sir, I understand that, and I always oppose bonds and always encourage the voters to oppose bonds. In fact, when we did one, what was it, 2016, I don't remember the when that one was. I actually had signs printed saying, enough debt, vote no on the bonds, and put them all over Cabarrus County.
Representative Lucas, do you desire additional questions?
No, thank you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Clemens, rise?
I was going to debate the bill, but instead we'll say thank you to Representative Bell for working for Guilford County to address some immediate relief needs that we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
To see if Representative Bell would yield for a question, since Representative Moore did not want to do the appropriate thing.
Well, Representative Floyd, you're the only thing standing between us and a vote.
But he made a commitment, Madam Follow-up.
Representative Bell, do you yield for a question from Representative Floyd?
With mixed emotions.
You may propound your question.
Representative Bell, could you stop by 1325 so we can carry on the conversation with Representative Quick? 1325.
I'm happy to entertain any member that wants to help work on disaster relief and some issues going on in our county, whether it be a tornado, hurricane, or planning for the future.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further discussion, further debate. A dangerous question. The question before the body is the passage of House Bill 241 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Moore will be noted as aye. The clerk will lock and record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative, 6 in the negative. The bond passes and shall remain on the calendar. One more bill. 264.
Thank you, sir. House Bill 264, the clerk will read.
Committee on Rules, Calendar Operations of the House. House Bill 264, bill to be entitled Act to Make Technical Corrections to the General Statutes as recommended by the General Statutes Commission.
Gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, recognize the debate bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this bill contains correction of a truly technical nature to the General Statutes and Session Laws as recommended by the General Statutes Commission. These amendments correct typographical and other obvious drafting errors, make conforming changes, make references to public officials gender neutral, update formats, and correct or update technology terminology. It received a unanimous favorable report in the Rules Committee, and I ask you to please support the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 264 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk lot machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 264 passed the second reading and will without objection hear at third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 264 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 264 having passed third reading is ordered sent to the Senate. Members, we're about to go to notices and announcements. The chair will, but we still need to do committee reports as well as the introductions of bills and resolutions. For your planning purposes, tomorrow's session will be at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. is when session will be held. The chair does not believe it's going to be a lengthy calendar. I believe it'll just be the bills that had their second readings today that had required third. I don't know if there's anything else on there, but if there is, it'll be there. But should be a short calendar for those who are making the trek to Charlotte to see the Tar Heels win the ACC. Gentlemen from Rock, the Representative Ross recognized sent forth the committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Ross, Commerce Committee report. House Bill 51, Official Azalea Festival, favorable and referred to Rules Calendar and Operations of the House.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Rules Calendar and Operations of the House.
House Bill 179, Mini Truck Classification, favorable and re-refer to Rules Council and Operations of the House.
Bill is referred to Committee on Rules Council and Operations of the House. Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren. Recognize and send forth committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren. Finance Committee report. House Bill 125, GSC, Revised Uniform Athletic Agents, favorable and re-refer to Rules Council and Operations of the House.
Bill is re-referred to Rules.
House Bill 155, Unclaimed Property Changes, favorable, committee substitute, unfavorable, reads the bill and re-refer to Rules, Council and Operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable counter, committee substitute, refer to the Committee on Rules. Representatives Davis and Stevens, recognized, send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. House Bill 212, Break and Enter Pharmacy, increased penalty, favorable, committee substitute, unfavorable, reads the bill and re-refer to Rules, Council and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable counter. Committee substitutes referred to Committee on Rules.
House Bill 283, Congress Law, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill and referred to Rules, Council and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable counter. The committee substitutes referred to the Committee on Rules. Representatives Corbin and Warren recognize and send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee report. House Bill 8, In-State Tuition Pilot Program, favorable and referred to Rules, Council and Operations of the House.
Those are referred to Rules.
House Bill 159, State Search and Rescue Funding, favorable and referred to Appropriations, Justice, and Public Safety.
Bills referred to the Committee on Appropriations, Justice, and Public Safety.
House Bill 170, Asheboro Satellite Annexation, favorable and referred to Finance.
Bills referred to Finance.
House Bill 181, Walkertown Zoning Authorization, favorable and referred to Rules, Council and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to Rules.
House Bill 187, Amend Town of Elon Charter Parking Ordinances, favorable and referred to Finance.
Bills referred to Appropriations Capital.
House Bill 282, NC
Actually, strike that, referred to Finance on 187. The clerk will continue on 282.
House Bill 282, NC Transportation Museum Funds, favorable and referred to Appropriations Capital.
That bill is referred to the Committee on Appropriations Capital.
House Bill 285, City of Sanford Voluntary Annexation, favorable and referred to Finance.
Bills referred to Finance.
House Bill 169, Loggerhead Turtle State Saltwater Reptile, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill and referred to Environmental.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar, committee substitute, referred to the Committee on Environment. Representative Ross, recognized, send forth additional committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Ross, Commerce Committee report. House Bill 258, expand eligibility for utility account, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable regional bill, and referred to Energy and Public Utilities.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, committee substitute, referred to the Committee on Energy and Public Utilities. Representatives Davis and Stevens, recognized, send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. House Bill 105, Red Light Cameras, Hope Mills and Spring Lake, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill and refer to transportation.
Original bill, unfavorable counter, committee substitute, refer to the Committee on Transportation. Representatives Grange and Hall, recognized, send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Grange and Hall, Elections and Ethics Law Committee report. House Bill 18, allow absentee ballot fire district election, favorable and re-refer to Rules, Council and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to Rules.
House Bill 115, Even Year Elections, Town of Biltmore Forest, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill and re-refer to Rules, Council and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to Rules. Representatives Davis and Stevens, recognized, send forth two additional committee reports. Clerk will read.
Representative Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. House Bill 198, Human Trafficking Commission recommendation, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill and refer to Rules, Council and Operations of the House.
Original bill placed on the unfavorable counter, committee substitute, refer to the Committee on Rules, Council and Operations of the House.
House Bill 259, additional judge and magistrates in Union County, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill and refer to Appropriations, Justice and Public Safety.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitutes refer to the Committee on Appropriations, Justice, and Public Safety.
Representatives Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. House Bill 226, 2019 AOC legislative changes. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reads the bill and re-refer to Finance.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute refer to the Committee on Finance. The introductions of bills and resolutions will be done upon adjournment. Notices and announcements. What purpose, gentlemen from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, rise?
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal. And I would like to be recognized to speak very quickly about the statement.
Chair orders that the representative statement be read upon adjournment, spread across the journal. The gentleman is also recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Miss America today with the national anthem, Nia Franklin, was absolutely wonderful. And her advocacy efforts is dealing with music education. So the representative statement that I've submitted with the clerk is a resolution talking about the benefits of music education. And as we saw from her story, it has had such an impact on her life, and one of her goals is to spread those kind of impacts to many children. So that's what the statement deals with, and I appreciate the time, Speaker. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Richmond, Representative Goodman, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know we're not supposed to talk about a prior vote at this time, but if you'll forgive me, I want to thank everybody in the body for the vote today. I appreciate it very much, and I want to make a comment about what Howard was talking about. If you weren't in rules yesterday, this is kind of the way I felt about a lot of these comments. I went to a funeral a couple of years ago, and I was sitting behind this lady and her son, and her husband had died, and the preacher was up there doing the eulogy, and he starts talking about what a great man this was and how much good he had done, and all this high character and all the things that he was. And I saw the mother punch her son, and she said, "Tommy, go down there and look in that casket. I don't think that's your father in there." So, you know, that's kind of, I do appreciate all the kind words, and I feel very not worthy of all of that, but this is a great place. I've made so many good friends here that I'm going to cherish for the rest of my life. Don't let anybody tell you that you read all the things you read in the paper about how corrupt we all are. I don't believe a word of it. Everybody up here is doing what they think is best for their district, the state of North Carolina, and it's been one of the greatest experiences of my life, and I just want to say that. I'm going to stick around about 3 or 4 more weeks as long as I can because I don't have to leave because I haven't been sworn in yet and do some other things, and I'm looking forward to that, and I promise you I'm very conflicted about leaving here. Thank you very much.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler, rise?
May I ask the representative a quick question, Representative Goodman?
Does the gentleman from Richmond yield to the lady from New Hanover?
I yield.
He yields.
I just wondered if you were holding a grudge that I called you Wayne Goodwin for the first 6 months I knew you. I just wanted to ask your forgiveness for that and wish you well on your new appointment.
Wayne did. This was his seat at one time.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Rowan, Representative Warren, rise?
Without objection, I'd like to change my vote on House Bill 158 to an aye.
The gentleman will be recorded as voting aye on House Bill 158. For what purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Terry, rise?
For a moment of personal privilege.
Please recognize to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you very much, and I'll try to be as brief as I can. I just like to be able to say that Nia Franklin, Miss America, is very near and dear to me, simply because her grandmother and I were classmates. And the reality about that is that her father is a student who accompanied me to New Orleans, Louisiana back in 1983.
Wow.
With 12 other young scholars to participate in an academic Olympics program there. Nia's dad, Jimmy Franklin, returned to Winston-Salem with a bronze medal from participating in that particular Olympics as an essayist. He writes beautifully. So I'd like to stand with pride to say that Nia and her entire family are very near and dear to me. And this is what happens when opportunity is provided for families who do well. I spent the day with them at her church a few months ago, right after she was crowned Miss America. And she sang there beautifully. She did she writes music as well. She's very, very talented. The reality about the program at the church was so touching because everyone that day spoke of how she grew up there in that church and participated. And even one of the Sunday school ladies said that she didn't allow her to participate in something because she just wasn't quite ready yet. And it did not deter her. She's a fine young person, and I'm so proud to be associated with her entire family. Thank you very much for allowing me to share that story with you.
Thank you, Representative Terry. For what purpose does the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
We're going to have a broadband work group at 4 o'clock or as close to that as we can get right after the session. And it's bipartisan. We hope everyone will come and join us. We're going to have Ed Henson from Skyland Telecom Co-op speak of the good work that they're doing in broadband in the northwest corner of North Carolina. Thank you.
What purpose, gentlemen?
It's in 1425.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Pitt, Representative Murphy, rise.
Announcement.
Gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Members of Health and Human Services for the House, we're meeting and at 8:30 tomorrow morning, 6:43. Please be on time. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Iredell, Representative Fraley, rise.
A point of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Go Heels.
Noted.
Any further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn to reconvene on Thursday, March 14th at 10 o'clock a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative McNeil, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, March 14th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned. Chair directs reading of representative statements, and thereafter the clerk will do introductions of the bill's resolutions.
A representative statement recognizing music education. Whereas the study of music is basic to a complete education, provides a competitive edge for successful educational reform, engages students in individual and group activity, and develops creativity, problem solving, and critical and evaluative skills. And whereas music education helps study acquire skills in production, performance of music, as well as understanding of history and culture. And whereas the North Carolina Music Educators Association supports maintaining and improving school music program for all students. And whereas the month of March is observed as Music in Our Schools Month to provide an opportunity to support the purposes and practices of music education to encourage teachers, students, and all citizens to participate. Now, therefore, it is important to recognize and commend the North Carolina Music Education Association for their efforts in enhancing the quality of music in North Carolina schools, especially during the month of March when Music in Our Schools Month is observed. A witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 13th day of March 2019, submitted by Representative Jeffrey Elmore, James White, Principal Clerk.
58, short title Expand Eligibility for a Utility Account, is withdrawn from the Committee on Energy and Public Utilities and recommitted to the Committee on Finance. On motion of the Chair, House Bill 272, short title Lumbee Indian Cultural Center Site, is withdrawn from the Committee on Rules Counter Operations of the House and recommitted to the following committees: State and Local Government, if favorable appropriations; General Government, if favorable appropriations; if favorable, Rules Counter Operations of the House. Introduction of bills and resolutions, the clerk will read.
Representative Floyd, House Bill 332, to increase jury duty rate of pay.
Judiciary, if favorable, finance, if favorable, rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Representatives Jones, Destin Hall, and Sane, House Bill 333, limit registration plates, fine collection.
Transportation, if favorable, rules, counter, operations of the House.
Representatives McGrady, Setzer, Harrison, and Ager, House Bill 334, NCSU Honeybee Laboratory Funds.
Agriculture, if favorable, appropriations, Agner, if favorable, appropriations, if favorable, rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Representatives White, Dobson, and Potts, House Bill 335, reduce wait list for home and community care block grant services fund.
Aging, if favorable, appropriations, health and human services, if favorable, appropriations, if favorable, rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Representative Torbett, House Bill 336, extend suspension of Spencer Mountain.
State and local government, if favorable, rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Representatives Torbett and Lewis, House Bill 337, change salvage vehicle transfer requirements.
Transportation, if favorable, finance, if favorable, rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Representatives Brockman, Faircloth, Hollister, and Quick, House Bill 338, Coltrane Jazz Blues Festival Funds.
State and local government, if favorable, appropriations, general government, if favorable, appropriations, if favorable, rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Representatives Goodwin, Strickland, Dixon, and Rydell, House Bill 339, broaden sales tax exemption for farmers.
Finance, if favorable, rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Representatives Martin, Cleveland, and Bell, House Bill 340, amend appointment for compact for education, military.
Education K-12, the favorable rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Representatives Russell, Ager, Morey, and Quick, House Bill 341, North Carolina Sunshine Act.
Rules, counter, and operations of the House, if favorable state and local government, if favorable appropriations, if favorable finance, if favorable judiciary, if favorable appropriations, information technology, if favorable appropriations, Agner, if favorable appropriations, education, if favorable appropriations, general government, if favorable appropriations, health and human services, if favorable appropriations, justice and public safety, if favorable appropriations, transportation, if favorable, rules, counter, and operations of the House.
Representatives Presnell, Hollister, Destin Hall, and Rudell. House Bill 342, strengthen human trafficking laws.
Judiciary, favorable rules, counter operations of the House.
Representative Lewis, House Bill 343, authorize Legislative Services Commission criminal records check.
Finance, favorable rules, counter operations of the House.
Representatives Cleveland, Pittman, House Bill 344, no insurance while driving, tow a vehicle.
Transportation, favorable rules, counter operations of the House. Special messages from the Senate, clerk will read.
Senate Bill 105, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to implement requirements of Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administrator's Performance Registration Information System Management Program.
Rules counter operations of the House, if favorable transportation, if favorable rules counter operations of the House.
Senate Bill 113, First Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to allow persons to provide emergency contact information to the Division of Motor Vehicle for use of law enforcement in an emergency.
Rules counter operations of the House, if favorable transportation, if favorable rules counter operations of the House.
Senate Bill 144, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to modify an extended date the enactment of legislators applying for gross minimum tax, Medicaid capitation payments for prepaid health plans.
Rules counter operations of the House, if favorable finance, if favorable rules counter operations of the House.
Senate Bill 20, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to enact the Emergency Workers Protection Act.
Rules counter and operations of the House, if favorable judiciary, if favorable, rules counter and operations of the House.
Senate Bill 106, Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify the applicability of limited immunity for drug overdose victims.
Rules counter operations of the House, if favorable judiciary, if favorable, rules counter and operations of the House.